Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. If the attendance books have not been passed out yet, I'd like to ask that someone help us by passing those out. And we ask then if you would register your attendance this morning by signing your name. If you're the first one to sign, if you please would put the date, the 10th, up in the corner, and also 10:15. We'd like to take a few moments to welcome any visitors that we might have this morning. Do we have any visitors?
We have a Tory champion over here, a friend of Ann. Is there a twin with you, or a sister, or another friend? Morgan and Terry, welcome. They've got a speech to make or anything? Then we have... Sherry's been with us before, but Sherry Coughlin right here on the back row on this side, that's the ones that I recognize as being first time visitors. Maybe there are others. Most everybody, I think everybody else has been here at least once. Okay.
Well, welcome to everyone. I'd like to take a few moments to have you look at the announcements and the calendar of events that are going on this week. We won't go over all of those events, but I will remind you that the church picnic and ice cream social is immediately after the service this morning.
They're cooking now.
They're cooking now, so we welcome everyone to stay and enjoy lunch. Do we have any announcements, Susan?
Three first-time visitors on the back row of the pews in the center section, and so make sure you welcome them too. I overlooked them. I think they were hidden back there behind somebody or whatever. Right, they came last night as Melanie and Savetta were practicing, so we welcome them again. Okay, and okay. Also, men's breakfast Saturday morning, 6:45. The Lions Club will be with us also, kind of as our guest, and then they're going to go work, but you don't have to go work. I think that's for the Franklin Cumberland Presbyterian Church at 600 something West Main, right behind the old library that kind of connect back there, or across the street from the Episcopal Church. They're dedicating a steeple for their building today at 2:00. They have their steeple got blown away or something happened to it in about 1907 or 1909. Nobody remembers when, and it's been steepleless since then. And so somebody gave enough money or a lot of money to put the steeple on. They added some to it, so they got a new steeple, and they want to celebrate and dedicate for the glory of God there this afternoon at 2:00.
Do we have any other announcements, Deborah? Have any prayer requests this morning? Mike?
Our son Brett has a very good friend who just happened to be, I think he happened to live right up the street from us, lives in town. He got an email from him last weekend, and he has had a contract to go away. He was in the Navy about so many years ago, but he's taken a contract to go away. He will be a contract.
Thank you, Mike. Any other prayer requests this morning? If you would like to have a name added to the prayer list, you can write it on an index card in the pew in front of you and drop it in the offering plate. Anyone else? At this time, in preparation for worship, we ask that you bow with us for a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 19, 7 through 11. It's responsive. It's printed in your bulletin. Please join with me. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous.
They are more precious than gold, and much purer. They are sweeter than honey, and honey from the comb. I am your servant born. You believe in them, there is great reward.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn 1, hymn number 1. And just in case you're wondering, we are not doing the Sister Act version of this song.
We are.
For prayer. We have special guests this morning, Reverend and Mrs. Tommy Job, Tommy and Gloria, and we want to ask Tommy to lead us in prayer and lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing for our expression of our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
The Apostles' Creed is number 716 in the back of the hymnal, and it's also projected behind me. Please join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. Our call to confession this morning comes from Psalms. King David said, I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Please join me in our prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have refused to hear the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. John writes, you know that He, Jesus, appeared so that He might take away our sins.
Turn in your hymnals, if you will, now, please. Hymn 284. Tried a little something different this morning in the early service, and I guess we'll try it again now. So you just have to watch me. I want to sing two verses and a chorus and two verses and a chorus.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. Together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And we'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Christ Jesus, His own. praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And with us are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Many of you know that I sometimes like the old Psalms. Most of the time. This song today was written in 1932. However, there's an updated background to it, so I hope you'll enjoy the message and remember the song. It's 528 in your hymnal if you'd like to follow the words. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, how I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. Comes to me with calm assurance, more and more I understand His words of love, but I may never know just why He came to save me. That day I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. Darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. He cares for us all. Oh, how much He cares for me. Children's time now, and I'm not sure
Ms.
who's
Mary
going
Jo.
To speak. Okay,
Miss
Mary Jo. So if the children will please come forward, and there will be children's church this morning.
Good morning.
Our offertory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 8:19. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord Himself and to show our eagerness to help. Will the ushers please come forward? Hymnals again, if you will, please, for a new song in 546. How many grandparents do we have here today? All right. How many professional grandparents? See, I can say that because I have my picture. If you would like to see them, I'd be glad to show them. Some of you probably didn't think I was that old, did you? It's not the years, it's the mileage.
546, would you play that 3 for us one time?
Today comes from John 15, John 13, and Leviticus 19. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love if you obey my commands. You will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. And John 13:34-35. A new command I give you: love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Turn our hymnals now, please, to hymn 281, The Bond of Love.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Let us sing now, everyone. Let us feel His love begun. Let us join our hands that the world will know we are one in the bond of love.
If you haven't figured it out yet, the theme today is loving one another. Loving one another. We've been thinking about or studying about obedience to what God teaches us, or what Jesus teaches us, or what we're told to do in God's holy word. We've been on that for a few weeks, going back and talking about we are one through the Spirit. Wherever we come from, we may have come from a Jewish background or a Gentile background. That was what the situation was in Ephesus. As Paul wrote to them, we are united in Christ. We are one. No division, no difference. And then we begin to see in chapter 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians what it is that God instructs us to do. We looked a couple of Sundays, I believe it was, at what we're supposed to do in church. One place is in Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 13. We haven't dwelt with it, but we've printed it a time or two. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Instructions for worship. When you meet to worship, even the Apostle Paul in the Hebrew writer, it may have been the Apostle Paul and it may have been someone else. Nah, nobody's determined a sure fact about that. It's don't stop meeting together, as is a matter of some. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about being encouragers. Encouragers to one another in the faith rather than discouragers. This morning, I want us to think about, I hope that we've already thought about, loving one another. There is an outline, and hopefully the sermon will go somewhat with the outline. Some time ago, recently, not too long ago, someone said that someone else had said to them, the church doesn't seem as loving as it did. Well, I get to the solution in there, if you'll stay with me, but long sermons, I'm told that some people kind of lose their train of thought after about 20 minutes, and maybe I won't go over 20 minutes, but it's probably the fact that I will. And so at the end, I say, it's up to you to do the loving. And we talk about how we can be the loving people. If you feel the church is not as loving as it once was, you're the one that sees the problem, so I'm challenging you up front, hopefully we'll get to it, do it later, to be that loving person. Do all that you can to make it a loving church as it was. We know that our country, we talk about how our country used to be different, more loving, we thought. It probably wasn't. We talk about how our nation used to be more loving. Well, it probably wasn't. If I remember the early 50s, the late 50s, and so we're probably about like we were then. But we are suspicious now. But we were suspicious during the Cold War, folks. Were we not? I want you to help me this morning. I want you to think back in your life. Now, how many like to go back in their life? Most all of us like to go back and reflect upon and remember that glorious time long ago. I want you to think in a time in your life when you were in a situation where you had no control. Do you remember a time when you had no control? Everything was out of control as far as you're concerned. Or there was a particular situation where you couldn't do anything to make it right or make it wrong. Totally out of your control. Can you think of a time back then? Way back there? Or maybe you've always been in control. I doubt it. Think of a time where you were in complete control or thought you were. Can you think of a time where you were in complete control or pretty close to it? Time or two, I kept telling my children, I'm in control. Or I'd tell them they were not in control. Can you think of that time? Well, that was way back there. What about right now? You may be in a situation right now over which you have no control. Possible? You don't know where you'll be tomorrow. It may depend on your job. It may depend on a telephone call this afternoon. But right now you have no control over it. Or you may be in a situation now where you have complete control. It's not all of your life, I can almost bet you, so, but part of it. We don't control the price of gasoline. There are some things in life that we have no control over. One of them is the sun rising. Who's ever tried to tell the sun when to come up or go down? We have no control over when the sun sets, do we? We have no control over which side of our house the sun comes up on. I moved to El Dorado, Arkansas in 1969, and I woke up the next morning and the sun came up on the wrong side of the house. And I never did. In 7 years, I never got it to come up on the right side as far as my thinking was concerned. It was coming up on the east side, but I had in my mind, somehow I got, disoriented as I drove to town and into town, and it came up on the wrong side. And I could not get it to change. The wrong side in my mind. That was frustrating. 7 years of frustration. That's what's wrong with me today. The sun rising, the sun setting, water flowing downhill. The only way it can flow, right? You can pressure it uphill, the water man over here. But water is going to flow downhill. That's why they put the water tanks on top of a hill, because it's going to flow downhill. And Charles may be in charge at the water company, but he can't make water flow freely uphill. Is that right? I'm on track then, okay, with water at least. I knew it was with the sun rising and setting and thought it was with water. All right, 24 hours in the day. Just think of that one. You ever tried to lengthen the day? No. There's one example in the Bible where a day was lengthened where they could finish a battle. But we don't have any control over it. 24 hours long. We can't make it longer, can't make it shorter. The clock still ticks. Time passes. You know, things that we can't control, there are some control, self-proclaimed control freaks. Some people brag about it. I'm a control freak. And I like to be in control, folks. Don't tell anybody. And that makes me kind of freakish, I guess. But it drives us nuts when we can't be in control. Certain things we want to be in control over. While there are certain things we cannot be in control of, there are other things that we have total control over. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, one of those things. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was, maybe 3 weeks ago, I talked about welcoming visitors. You've done so well. Thank you. I've seen you. Responded. One of the sermons in my almost 19 years of preaching here, one of the sermons that I remember that you have responded to in a positive way is welcoming each other. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've made me just happy, and I think you've made Jesus happy, and I believe you've made the visitors happy. And was that a problem? Maybe it was, and maybe it was just a perceived problem of somebody else, but it was in their mind, so it was a problem for them. We have control over whether we will encourage each other in their ministry or whether we will discourage them. You know, I'm trying, and I think I'm pretty good at encouraging. If you come up with a ministry that you want to perform, and listen to it, if it sounds within God's scope of things that are good and that are needed, that He would approve of, we say, go for it. Go for it. And it may be one or two people that's doing this thing, but I want to stand on the sideline. If it's you feel it's God is leading you into this, I want to encourage you, encourage you, and encourage you. Now, I could stand around and say, no, I don't think I would do that, and really put a person down. But it's under my control whether I encourage somebody or discourage them. It's under your control whether you encourage a fellow church member or a neighbor in something. It's under our control whether we smile or frown, right? Not under my control. I tried to make the early service smiled this morning, and they were pretty stone-faced most of the time, but y'all have smiled a little bit. You know, it was under their control. It certainly wasn't under mine, but I can make myself smile or choose to smile or choose not to. Okay, whether I eat breakfast or skip it. How many ate breakfast this morning? Was that your choice? These people over here didn't eat breakfast. I didn't either. I had something during the Sunday school hour. I eat breakfast about half the time. It's my choice. I'm in the control there. Do I want to eat breakfast? Do I not want to eat breakfast? Sometimes it's almost a flip of a coin. Or it's according to how hungry I am. Or what I've got to do. Or what I'm going to eat for lunch. It's whether we wear red or blue or whatever. Neckties this morning. I'm still wearing a necktie to preach. And some of y'all are still wearing a necktie to church. Not all of it. It's your choice, though. It's under your control. Nobody says you got to do either one. Well, what color necktie would I?
I have about three.
Bill Levin and Jerry Bowers have
supplied me greatly with neckties. And then the family buys one every once in a while, and I'm appreciative. But then I get to choose which one that I... Every once in a while, Brenda says, that was out of date. And I'll say, but Bill gave it to me. And she'll say, get rid of it anyway, you know. Thank you, Brenda. She keeps me dressed. And when I start putting on a necktie, I think, wonder what Brenda will think about this necktie. So, and I really do. I really do. So she's told me,
something to get rid of. Okay. Saying all that, whether or not we're obedient to God, or whether we just ignore what God says, it's our choice. Your choice, right? You can turn it off and say, I don't want to do anything He says, or you can say, I'm going to do what God says. It's under our control. The Bible verse of the day, one day this week, I looked at Gateway, Bible Gateway, and they give us a Bible verse of the day. And that's, you have to go to the internet, go on the internet, just type in Bible Gateway, and it'll bring up all of these, with the whole Bible in many, many versions. And one thing they do is give you a Bible verse of the day. So I found this Bible verse of the day. Don't even remember which day. But I thought, boy, this one speaks. It might have been what inspired this sermon, or it might have been that I saw it and I said, man, that fits the sermon. But listen to this. Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 17. Bible verse of the day for one day this past week. God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the Israelites who are in bondage in Babylon. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. Now there's a sermon in that. Anything God tells us to do is good for us. Nothing God ever tells us to do is not good for us. Everything He tells us to do is good for us. If you can find one place in the Bible where God's Word tells you to do something that would not be good for you or that would be bad for you, I want to see that verse. Everything, every instruction God gives is good for us, for our benefit. Okay? He says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go, which would be the best way that we could go. And then verse 18, I pulled the Bible out and read the verse preceding and the verse following. You need to read them in context. If only, this is verse 18, if only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Think of the smooth flowing of a river. The constant flowing of the river. And the peace of floating down a river. Maybe not to a koi. It's not so peaceful, is it, last week? But a smooth river. Maybe the old muddy Mississippi. Or think of the waves of the sea. They're so constant. It says your peace would be like the waves of the sea. So constant. If you had only paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness or your righteous like the waves of the sea. I wonder how many times have you said, if only I had listened and obeyed. Be it your mother, be it your father, be it your grandparent, be it a good neighbor who cared, be it your preacher, be it God. If only I had listened and obeyed. You ever said that? Who has not said that? Look back on life at the end of a terrible situation or in the middle of a terrible situation and say, if only I had listened to Mama. Oh, probably all of us have. We didn't think Mama knew anything, did we? Some of them still don't, but they do. If all I had listened and obeyed what God says. The instructions from God today is love God and love one another. What a wonderful place it would be, even this earth,
if we'd follow that. If only we would listen to God and obey. What a wonderful world it would be to live in. Love one another. I'm not talking about romantic love or sensual love, eros. That's not what God is talking about here. That's a part of life and a gift of God. But he's talking about agape, a phileo or filio, however you would say the Greek. Brotherly love, then godlike love. If only we would act toward those around us as we would act toward a brother that we're not mad at, or a sister, we would act with kindness. And for their best interest. Or if we would act toward other people in the way that God acts toward us. Agape. Someone said that 1 Corinthians at least, didn't 13, didn't define love except gave us a bunch of characteristics of love. And Henry Drummond's rendering of these words in the little book, The Greatest Thing on Earth, I believe is the name of the little book. The characteristics of love, or the ingredients of love, are patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, a good temper, guilelessness, no guile, sincerity. And what if we acted toward those around us, fellow church members, if you will, fellow community people, if you will, fellow workers, if you will, fellow students, if you will, fellow bus drivers, if you will, fellow car drivers, if you will, what if we acted toward all of them with patience? How many times does that horn honk? When that horn honks behind me or something, I just throw up my hand and say, well, what to do, sir? I'm pretty good at that by now, you know. Everybody can blow a horn if your car's got one on it. But can everybody be patient? They could if they would so choose. Okay? Acting toward our fellow creatures, we're all creatures, especially toward our fellow Christians, with a phrase that came my way some time ago, and don't know where it came from, with benevolent goodwill. With benevolence toward a person, and goodwill toward a person. Are treating those around us. What if all of us treated those around us as we desire to be treated? That's the best definition of love I think we could find. Acting toward those around us. Our neighbors, our friends, our fellow Christians, the people that we ride along beside on the highway, or on the school bus, or wherever in the classroom. If we treated all of them like we would like to be treated. That's the golden rule, isn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or treat your neighbor just like you want them to treat you. That's love. I've had an experience more than once, and I've made a discovery through that experience. I have experienced, thus discovered, that a gripey attitude expressed in a particular tone of voice sounds a lot different when it comes to me than when it goes out from me. You know, can I use my wife again? One more story about her? Maybe one next week too? It's okay for me to gripe at her, or it sounds okay to me when it goes from me. About her driving, or about where she's going to park, or about how, what angle she parks at, or all of this. That's just some of the things that we can talk about publicly, where I can gripe at her. And it sounds okay when it's coming from me to her, but when it comes from her to me, it's a different story. And it cuts deep. And I say, Carol, don't fuss at me like that. Carol, don't fuss at me like that. It hurts my feelings. It sounds so much better when it's going out than it does when it's coming in, doesn't it? But it doesn't sound any better for her. So I think, you know, Larry, you're really being loving? She lets me know sometimes. Sometimes she just takes it. Loving God. Loving God. Actions show our love. Loving our fellow man. Loving those around us. Loving God and loving our fellow man must be important in God's thinking. He tells us to do it so often. Over and over and over, he says, love your neighbor. Be good even to those who persecute you. Loving God with our whole being is the first and the greatest commandment. Somebody came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, the first one is love the Lord your God with all that you've got. All your body, soul, mind, and spirit, or whatever. And the second, Jesus wouldn't stop there. He said, the second is just like it, or like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving our neighbor is next in line to loving God. And Jesus went on to say that if you do these two things, you've done everything that the law and the prophets require. You've done what you need to do to be a person of God. It's in the Old Testament. Leviticus, one little verse there. Not the only place, but it's one place. And then quoted by Jesus. Jesus called it a new commandment. Evidently, the evidence being, one of the evidences being the number of times that we're called in the Bible to love our neighbor. Not loving one another, evidently, was a problem in the early church, and I thought, oh, they'll think the early service. No. In the first century church, loving one another must have been a problem. Or something close to that. Some examples is in Acts chapter 6. People sold their goods and put their money in one pool, and the apostles were distributing it out to the people as they had need. Well, the Greek Christians and the Jewish Christians got to fighting over it, or got to grumbling about it. They're getting more than we are. They're not being fair to us. Jealousy. Selfishness. Maybe they didn't need as much. But anyhow, there was a problem there. Lack of love. And then, as you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we find Paul writing to the Corinthian church. I think we mentioned it last week. There were some problems in the church at even the communion service, or was it maybe a love feast prior to the communion service? And they were not treating each other kindly. Some were eating all the food up before the rest of them got there. Those had to work late. 1 Corinthians 11, at least two examples. So Jesus spoke of it even with among his disciples. There was a little problem. Who can be first? Who can sit closest to you who will get to heaven? Or was it in that earthly kingdom that they were still anticipating? I want to be on your right, my brother on your left. Or can my boy sit close to you? Can they be the closest? Can they be top dog under you in your kingdom? Love is a choice, people. We can choose. That's in our control. We choose whether we love someone or not. Now, we can't prove how we feel about them. We may not can have good emotions about them. But if we start acting toward people with good thoughts and good actions, our emotions will come along. The emotions will come. But initially, we may have to say, you know, these people kind of bother me, but I'm going to act toward them with kindness and justice. I'm going to treat them just like I want them to treat me, or a little better. We choose to act toward other people with the ingredients that make up love, or we choose not to act toward them. And to quote Drummond again, patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, a good temper, guilelessness, sincerity. 1 Corinthians chapter
13. Love is a choice. It's your choice whether you love other people in the God-like love, agape, acting toward them with benevolent goodwill, kindness, patience, understanding, or we choose to act toward them that way, or we choose to act toward them in a hateful way or a hurtful way. Love begins with God. We don't have it within ourselves to love. God-like love. It's a godly thing. God is love. We love because He first loved us. God so loved the world. God showed His love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3:1 says that how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And then go back and read, if you will, John 15, 9 and 10. Love is of God. Love begins with God, but it's His plan that it continues with His people. Sometimes it stops right there. Love continues with God's people. Continues with me and you. If God's love is going to flow in this church, it's got to flow through us. If God's love is going to flow out into this community, it's going to flow through us. If God's love is going to get into our homes and reign in our homes, it's got to go through us. Jesus commanded that we love. So did God. Leviticus. John urged it over and over. Jesus urged it over and over. We just printed a couple of passages from Jesus telling us how to love. Our loving others shows that we belong to God and that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. The hymn, 284, they will know that we are Christians by our love. John 13:34, love one another. John 15:12, love each other as I have loved you. Jesus chose us. Chose to love us. And then John 15:17, this is my command, love each other. And then another one, Jesus promises that we will be blessed if we do what He teaches. Actually, this is said in connection with foot washing. John 13:17. But doesn't it apply also to loving one another? We'll be blessed if we do what Jesus teaches. Friends, I found people that I can't love of my own strength. Will Rogers said he never met a man he didn't like. He hadn't met some of them that I've met. I shouldn't have said that, should I? But, so I can't love them of myself. You have trouble loving me of yourself too, okay? I know that. It's part of us. But we can allow God to love them through us. Let God love them through us. That can be our prayer. Lord, I can't love them of my own self. You love them through me. Here I am. Confess to God that it's difficult to love certain people. Say, God, I'm having trouble loving that person. You love them through me. God, help me to love them. Love them through me. And as we act toward them, as we go to them, make ourselves available to God to channel His love through us. What a wonderful world it's going to be, if we'll ever do it. If the group you're in, if the church you're in, if the club that you're in, if the community you're in, if the workplace you're in, or wherever it is, if it's not as loving as it once was, if it's not as loving as it needs to be, if it's not as loving as it should be, if it's not as loving as you wish it was,
you can be the one to make it what it ought to be. And you're the only one. You're the only one. Others may not see the problem. Others may not care. Others may not know how to fix it. But you do. And I've just told you. If your mind didn't wander, I went over 20 minutes. You start. You start being the loving person. Don't wait for someone else. God's word is to you and me. It's to you. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. That's how it is with God's love. Just that little spark. We're going to sing about that, 309, the first and the second stanza. The invitation this morning, respond to God's love sent to us in Jesus Christ. He calls us to be saved if we're not saved. The second part of the invitation is to commit yourself to being a person who spreads God's love. 209, 309, stand together if we will. Maybe your commitment, your response is a public one. I'll wait to meet you in the altar if that be the case.
It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon those all around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it on. What a wondrous time in spring, when all the trees are budding, the birds begin to sing, the flowers start their blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on.
We just pray for your help to be more loving people. Help us to hear and obey. And thank you for the instructions. And thank you for your spirit that enables us to live as you teach us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember the picnic right here at the church. Thank you.
Amen.